Psalm 106. Praise the Lord. I give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. So when God forgives you, you're forgiven forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are those who keep justice, and he that does righteousness at all times. Now, at all times, it's easy to sort of be a believer and be on and on about justice in one or two things. But to actually do righteousness and justice at all times, in all areas of human life, is not so easy. And this is the call of following God and the Lord Jesus, to allow them to influence our judgment and our behavior in every part of our life. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor, with the grace that you have to your people. O visit me with your salvation, that I may see the good of your chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers, we have committed iniquity, we have done iniquity. Our fathers understood not your wonders in Egypt. They didn't remember the multitude of your mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. So God does things for his name's sake. He just forgives people and overlooks their sin, even if they haven't repented. That is one of the ways in which God deals with sin. Now, we can't presume upon that. We can't assume and demand that he treats us like that. But that is how he behaves, and this is how we have got to be with others, not saying, I'll only forgive you if you're sorry, but overlooking sin and failure. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise, but they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and tested God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. So they were desiring to be given food, quails and meat, and so he gave it to them, but they were not satisfied. And that's the point. They were not satisfied. So if you give in to your lust, oh, I so want this, I so want that car, I so want that expensive thing, that bit of technology, I will put my whole heart and soul to get it. Well, you will still not be satisfied. And this is the lesson of Ecclesiastes, really, that you are never satisfied. If you give in to the sight of your eyes and the lust of your flesh, the only satisfaction is in going God's way. They envied Moses in the camp, and Aaron, the saint of the Lord. A saint just means a chosen one, a holy one. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram, and a fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God their Saviour, who had done great things in Egypt, wonderful things in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. So God did miracles, but they forgot them. They didn't think about them. They weren't really touched by them. Some people say, oh, no, you've got to see miracles to believe. Not at all, because the history of Israel is quite different. They saw these miracles, but they did not believe in the long term. They murmured in their tents and did not obey the voice of the Lord. So he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the desert, to overthrow their seed also among the nations, and to scatter them in the lands. They joined themselves unto Baal Peor, and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Thus they provoked God to anger with their inventions, and the plague broke out upon them. Then stood up Phinehas, and executed justice, and so the plague was stayed. And that was counted to him for righteousness to all generations for evermore. They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went badly with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spoke inadvisedly with his lips. So all because Moses allowed himself to get provoked, and he spoke wrongly, he wasn't allowed to enter into the promised land. Now, you might consider that that was rather a harsh judgment. Although he will be in the kingdom eventually, he wasn't allowed to enter the promised land because of how he spoke. So it just, I think, points up how very important it is how we speak, and not to just say, I said it because I was provoked. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mixed among the nations and learned their works. And of course, that's what happens with believers today. They mix among the nations, they mix with the people of the world, and they learn to do their things. And they serve their idols, which were a snare to them. This is the basis of our separation from the world. Not that we're better than them, but because we have a different direction. We have the great hope of being in God's kingdom. Yes, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. So to sacrifice to demons is to sacrifice to the idols. So that just shows that demons were idols. When we read that people were demon-possessed, well, we know that idols don't exist. Demons don't exist. There is no real idol or false god that has any real existence. And so the language of being possessed with demons, we must understand in that way. When it says Jesus cast out demons, it means that that's how they understood it, that demons were possessing a person, and so the person was ill, or mentally ill, or had a disease they couldn't understand. When Jesus cast out the demons, it was as if, well, they were cured. Now, that's the language that's used in the New Testament, but it doesn't mean that demons actually exist, because you see here that demons are idols, and as Paul says, an idol is nothing in the world. They don't exist. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, so that he hated his own inheritance, and he gave them into the hand of the Gentiles, and those who hated them ruled over them. Their enemies oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. Well, they should have been subject to God, but they didn't want that, so they were made subject to the nations. Many times God delivered them, but they provoked him with their behavior and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. He was so pitiful to them. And he remembered for them his covenant and repented or changed his mind according to his great mercies. He made them also to be pitied of all those who carried them captives. It's like Cyrus letting the Jews go back and rebuild the temple. He felt sorry for them, but God made him to do that. He gave Cyrus the emotion of pity. That's what it's saying here. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the nations to give thanks to your holy name and to triumph in your praise. Praise to the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say, Amen. Praise the Lord. Indeed, praise a God who is like that.